I'd be pinched on the sermon this morning, so I planned a full one. Can I go to 12:30? 12:15? It is exciting to preach on knowing you're saved. This series on the 1 John that ye may know. I have my main PowerPoint slides of all my sermons back there. I only have 8 of them, but it gives you the whole story. Be sure to get them. Some of the ones in this is on that, and that's just a blessing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Everybody turn there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. First John chapter 5, verse 13. This verse in the Greek, if you look it up in the Greek, if some of you have your tablets, look it up in the Greek. If you have a new translation, some of the newer translations only puts in the first part, and they don't put in that second part, the second part that just likes it repeats the first part. Why is it there? But it is there in the Greek. And it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe." If you look in the Greek, the word is believing, that you that have started believing on the name of the Son of God, catch this, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and then it repeats it a little bit, but a different word for believe, and that ye may believe, that you may fully believe, keep believing. You know, you've started believing, but I've written a book of 1 John so that you can know for sure. And you've started, and I want you to know for sure so you can keep on believing. Isn't that a great verse? And many of the new translations only put the first part, and they leave out the last believe because I don't know why, but it does look like it repeats it. But when you see the different Greek words for believe in two different Greek words there, one means believing, that you've started believing, and the others you can continue. Once you know for sure you're saved, isn't faith wonderful? And believing is something else that we have this, that we realize that God is so good. Paul, come and read for us 1 John 5 here.
1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, and we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Then verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself, and he that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
And everybody said, amen. To believe. I believe. It's easy to say you believe. You know, I believe in a ladder here. This little ladder here. This comes from my mama. This one my brother bought for my mom so she could climb up on a ladder to get stuff at her house when she was 80. I stole it when she was 90 and didn't want her to do it anymore. But this is a nice ladder. I mean, tell you, it's got things here, down here so you don't fall over. This is the perfect ladder. To climb up on this ladder is not scary. How many would be scary to climb up on this ladder? Come on. Any of you scared? Okay, no ladders. We have our projectors up here. We have a 12-foot ladder. It is a red one out in the storage, and it goes 12 feet up, and it's one of those step ladders. 12 feet up. Andrew climbs up the ladder. My son Andrew climbed up the ladder when he was here. Stood on the tip top of it. 12 foot up. Reached up and changed the light bulb of the thing up there. I think he had to do some tiptoeing sometime. And I said, "Andrew, are you sure about this, boy?" "Oh, yeah, Dad, I can do it." Yeah. And he was up there, and I was shaking the whole time, and he was up there, and I'm sitting there going, "Wow." Do you have to believe in that ladder to do that? You got to believe in it. And we have a day when to believe is really a big word. It's not, you know, "Well, I believe," you know. To believe is a huge word, and we need to know that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Don't turn there. I'm going to hit it a lot, this sermon. Let's read it together. 2 Timothy 1:12b. It says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that final day." Amen? "I know whom I believed and I'm persuaded and I'm committed. All those words are very, very important to catch that. And we must understand that, that believing is big time. To know that you believe, to know that you're a believing person. I'm going to skip reading. We just read it there. The head, we got to know with the head. Also, if you want to call it the light that God gives us or the knowledge, okay? To believe, you have to have some knowledge. And in 1 John here, it gives us all of that knowledge. In verse 10, it says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in him. And he that believeth not made him a liar, calls him a liar, because he believes not in the record that he gave of his Son. And next verse tells the record. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. You have to know those things to be saved. And so many times we forget that. My son, the worst thing I ever did to my son was trick him into thinking he won a Mustang. My son Tim, we went to the U.S. Nationals down in Indianapolis, and they were giving away a Mustang and a chicken, you know, there's going to have a drawing, okay? We stuck our names in, and it's all free and everything. And I got home, and I was in a really, I don't know what kind of mood I was in, but I went on Ford's website, found the name of a vice president, made up a paper, and had Ford highlights on it and had the vice president's name on it, and it was very authentic. And I wrote it all up. It took me days to do it. Riley was mad at me the whole time. And I made it all up, and I mailed it to Tim. And it says, you have won. Your ticket was chosen, and you have won a Mustang. And you just need to go to the dealership down here. What's the name of the dealership down here? Hayden, whatever. Go to the dealership and give them this paper, and they'll order you a Mustang. And about 4 days later, Tim called me and says, Dad, I won. I says, really? I said, that's wonderful. He says, I got to go down, and I'm going to go down and show him this paper, and I've won. And I go, well, it's wonderful. Ron Lee said, Mike, you got to stop this. He was really believing. I did humble myself and said, son, I did that. He about killed me. Before you can believe something, there's got to be some facts. Is that right? There's got to be some knowledge. There's got to be some light. There's got to be some head. You got to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know that He is the Savior of the world, that He's the Creator. And it's important that we know that He believes, because these things are Mustangs. They're not to be believed. They're going to pass away and disappear. But we got to know. We got to know God is our Savior. Let's do some review of some of our sermons. We got to know salvation. First, salvation is all about Jesus. Is that right? And it's all about Jesus being our Savior and then God being our Father. That's a wonderful thing of knowing that God's the Father and there is truth. And we have truth. We can trust Him that salvation is truthful, that He is holy and just and perfect. And salvation is forgiveness. And it's wonderful that it's about forgiveness in the Bible. And then salvation gives us life. We were dying and then we have life. And salvation gives us joy. Is that right? That was my first sermon. My third sermon was to know assurance. To know assurance. Assurance is not about me. It's about Him. He's my Creator. He's my Father God. He is righteous. He gives me the Holy Spirit. I know that He's going to return. I know that one day I'm going to be like Him. And He's going to be the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That gives me assurance. And it's wonderful. You need to read 1 John 3, 19 to 21. Don't turn to it now. We did that. It just says, if you feel guilty, you feel not perfect, you feel unable. It says if your spirit doesn't support you in your faith, and it says, oh, your conscience talks to you and says, well, you're not perfect, you're not good enough, you can't be saved. You ever be there? You're guilty. You did this, you can't be saved. You need to say, it says right there, it says the spirit is greater than your conscience, because you're guilty, but you're forgiven. And you need to know you're saved. It's wonder. Those are great verses to understand chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. It's wonderful to catch that so that we can say, for I know whom, 2 Timothy chapter 1, for I know one, to say it together with me, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to commit that which I have committed unto him against that day. Believing is in the head first, is in the head. And we need to know that believing is in the heart second. And 1 John talks about this. Verse 10 talks about it. Chapter 3, verse 24 talks about the Holy Spirit. And we are to have love. It gives us love. I wanted to get some, either you catch an H or an L or a K. We have knowledge and we kneel. We worship him. We love him. It's a heartfelt thing. It's a headfelt thing first. Secondly, it's a heartfelt thing that we love him, that we know him in our hearts, and that we believe and we're committed to it, and there's passion in our hearts. And so many times you think about that. As I was thinking about that, the thought come to me of what do I fear and scares me to death. And it's called grates, sidewalk grates. I hate to be in the Chicago and walking down the street and I come to this grate. And you step on it and you look down in it and it's about five stories down. You sit there and go, and you want me to walk on it? And you see people walk around them. You ever see them walk around? I don't like stepping on those grates at all. I'm scared to death of them. I looked it up on the internet. New York City has about 10,000 grates, okay, in the city. They have 9 million people walk on them almost every day, okay? And you only have a grate problem, a problem with a grate, one in 20 months. So you are safer, on a grate than you are sitting in your living room. You know, and I realized my heart was, I'm afraid. I don't like that. That scares me. But if I trust my head, is that right? I can trust the fact that it's going to hold me. Is that right? It's going to hold me. And you can trust God. And you believe. Believe is ahead. The facts, the truth, the doctrine. And then the heart, the passion. But sometimes we let passion get away and we think, well, I'm not saved. I'm not perfect. No. My head. I'm saved because God's my Creator, my Savior, my Lord, my God. It's wonderful. And our passion is that we're loved. I spent the second message on love. That we are loved. That God is love. And this God that is love loves me, and he'll never quit loving us, and he first loved us. That's why, you know, we have the little badge says, I am loved by God. I am loved, and it's wonderful to catch that. And since I'm loved, then I can love him, then I can love his truth, then I can love people. Are people easy to love? It says there in the text there, in the passage there, in 1 John 3, 17 and 18, it says, don't love in word or thought. You know, I think I should go visit Mark Griggs, or I think I should go help this person, this elderly person, or I should go witness, or I should pray. He says, do it. Is that right? Go visit that person. Go help that person. Go care for that person. Don't just talk about it. You're loved. So you are loved by God, so you can love him, and you can love his truth, and you can love people. And it's wonderful to catch that because God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, let's read it again. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So we know we have it in our head, we have it in our heart, but then we should have it in our hands, that it's really there, that it's life, that it's living, that we keep it, and it's in our hands, and we realize it's got to be something that I live, not just something that I talk about. In chapter 5, verse 5, it says, look at it, who is he that overcometh the world, that lives it, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 4 says, and whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That we have, you know, it's just not something that's in our head. It's not something we have in our heart. It's life. It comes out our hands and living and life and keeping it. And, you know, What happened to my box? Somebody took my box. Ronnie took my box. Okay. I was told a month ago that I'm a diabetic. To be a diabetic, you got to go on a diet. I have not taken diabetes too seriously, huh? I am on a diet. Does it look like I'm on a diet? But in my head, I'm on a diet. Is that right? In my heart, I don't want to eat. But at 9 o'clock at night, I do. And I can't really be on a diet and eat. Ron Lee likes peanut M&Ms. I just had three of them. My sugar goes, whoo. And you say, my. I want you to know that it's important that if we're going to say something, I want you to pray for me. I got to get serious about being a diabetic. Is that right? It's the hardest thing for me to do because I like to eat. And I'm in a habit. I don't think I'm hungry at night. I just eat out of habit. Is that right? Eat out of stress. Eat out of whatever. You know, I don't have to have a reason to eat, you know. But I got to get serious because if I have diabetes, I only checked my sugar last week. I was 220. So. I know I'm sweet. But it is something. I got to get serious about it. I got to believe. You know, my dad moved up here and he was a diabetic. And Dr. Knight, how many of you know Dr. Knight? Ooh, mean dude. Dr. Knight said, if you obey me, I'll be your doctor. But if you don't obey me, I won't be your doctor. Get out of here. Either obey me, either get on it or get out. And I need to get that. And you pray for me. I have to determine, you know, I don't really believe that I'm a diabetic because I don't have the life. I don't have the hands. I don't have the, it's not in my life because I'm playing a game with it. Is that right? And we need to realize that, God, help me. Last week I preached on abiding. And let's look at it, to abide. I want you to know you need to study the Bible and abide. This whole slide is on my paper back there. And you need to read that. We need to pray for Shirley. She was having some difficult with her blood pressure yesterday and went to the emergency room. That's why they're not here today. So pray for Shirley. And but she said to me last week, she says, I was reading your passages on abide last week. If we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, what? We have fellowship. It's wonderful. Our prayers get answered. She said, it clicked. Hope it clicks, folks. That word abide is one of the greatest verses in the Bible. And to abide, we know that we abide in Christ by the abiding Holy Spirit living in us. We know, secondly, when we start abiding by getting back up more than staying down in our sins. Is that true? I preached on that last week. And number three is when we start consistently bearing abiding fruit. And lastly, when we start claiming more abiding victory in Christ, that it comes alive. At John chapter 15 is awesome. Is awesome. And all of these texts in 1 John are awesome. And we need to know that I need to stick close to Him. I need to be in step with Him. Is that right? Abide. I need to be right with Him. To abide with Him is wonderful. Is wonderful. And that's how we live it, and it becomes life. And it is something. Believing is commitment. Believing is commitment. There's a thing, if you go on online, go to fan or follow. Fan or follow. God doesn't want fans. He wants followers. And there's a whole thing on the website called Not a Fan. I got all of these from this. And this is powerful. The verse is in Luke 9:23. Jesus said to all, if anyone who would come after me, let him deny himself. Here it is. Take up his cross, what? Daily, and follow me. Just to be a fan. You know, I'm a fan of me taking care of my diabetes. But I'm not much of a follower. because I play with it. Is that right? I even forget to take my pill. I'm supposed to take a pill at supper. I have to put a big sign everywhere that says, take your pill at supper. It's not a habit yet. I forget it all the time, all the time. Ron Lee, I blame Ron Lee when I don't take it. Okay. And I say, you say, help me. It's not a habit. Let me say it. When you're reading your Bible and you're praying, you're coming to church and you're serving and you're ministering and you're caring. Is that right? It starts to become a habit. Don't let it lose fire, but you got to have it as life. Life. And it's wonderful. You're just not a fan. Man, you're a follower. And it's awesome to understand that. I have some of these things up here. Let's put them up and go through them. Let me just read them real quickly. When Jesus defines the relationship he wants with us, he makes it clear that being a fan who believes without making any real commitment to follow isn't an option. That's heavy. Put up the next one. It says this, the way we respond to God's challenging assignments, the crosses, reveals our level of commitment. Is that true? Do you really believe? Are you committed? Put the next one up. Most of us don't mind Jesus making some minor changes in our lives, but Jesus wants to turn our lives upside down. Is that right? Put the next one up. It says, the difference between involvement and commitment is like ham and eggs. The chicken is what? Involved, but the pig is what? That's heavy. That's heavy. That's heavy. And to be committed, you know, we're just not playing a game. Put the next one up. It says, following Jesus isn't about trying every day. It's about dying every day. Is that right? That's good. Put the next one up. It says, can you really say you're carrying your cross if it hasn't cost you anything? Next one up. Put the next one up. It says, there is no forgiveness without repentance. There is no salvation without surrender. There is no life without death. There is no believing without following or commitment. Put the next one up. It says, fans will try and make Jesus one of many. Some fans may even make Jesus the first of many. But when Jesus defines the relationship, he makes it clear he wants to be your what? One and only. Powerful. Put the next one up. It says total commitment. It is taking self off every throne of your life and enthroning Christ. Self off, Christ on. He's the king of our life. Total commitment means Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Strive for the crown. Put the next one up. This is the one that's in your bulletin. I want you to put this one on your refrigerator or at your study desk. I want you to think about this. This is heavy. Following God requires making sacrifice and devotion to duty. Is that right? If you're going to follow God, there's going to be sacrifice. Well, I want to do this or I want to do this. It's sacrifice, sacrifice and devotion. I'm committed. I'm committed. You know, I won't just climb up this ladder. I would climb up the big ladder. I'm committed. Sacrifice and devotion. Catch the next thing. No man that's committed is ever outside his commitment. Think about that. Whether you go to a sporting event or go to work or go on vacation, is that right? You're never outside of your commitment. Is that right? You're a committed believer, a follower. Catch the next one. Or above his commitment. Well, I want to do this or I want to do that. You're not beyond it or above it. You're committed to Christ, not yourself. And this last phrase, I love this. We make our commitment, then our commitment makes us. Think about that. Your commitment drives you. You've committed. But since he's committed to you and the joy and the peace it gives and the answer of prayers that it gives and the life that it gives and the hope that it gives, your commitment drives you. And that's the neatest. I want you to go home. That's in your bulletin. And that's why I put it there. It is so important that we are there. We're just not fans. We're just not fans. We're followers. We are completely committed followers. And there are some verses that I want you to see here. Everybody turn to 1 Peter 4:19. It's a great verse. 1 Peter 4:19. This is a powerful verse. Everybody turn there. I trust you've read on the front of your bulletin the one right here. It says, following Christ is not a casual or occasional practice. It is a continuous commitment and way of life that applies at all times and in all places. I want you to take that one home with you on the front of your bulletin. That's powerful. That's powerful because that's the truth. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Hope you're there. Wherefore, let's read it together. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. That you commit yourselves to Him to keep your soul. Do you believe that? Yeah. Does Mark Griggs believe that? Yes. Savannah's down in Indianapolis having some difficulty this whole week. She's doing a little better. Okay. Does Mama believe that? Yes. Yes. How do you do that? You just believe. You're committed. I commit the keeping of their souls to Him. And you realize, wow, that is tremendous to realize that, wow, He is the one. Believing is commitment. It's with the head. It's with the heart. It's with the hands. It's life. Being a Christian is all out. Look at this next one. This next one is the last one. I close. Everybody read it. Look at it. Look at it. This is heavy. The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christian but aren't actually interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. That's the biggest problem in the church. That we can call ourselves a Christian, but we don't take it to work with it. We don't take it to sporting events with us. We don't take it on vacation. We don't take it to the store. We don't take it when we're doing our taxes, huh? It's got to be life. It's got to be life. It's got to be life. Now let me state this. I'm not totally committed all the time. I notice my commitment level drops, huh? My selfish rise, is that right? My old flesh rises. And I forget to read my Bible, or I forget to pray, or I forget to witness, or I forget to live it. And it fluctuates. The key is that it doesn't always, the key that it never falls or gets weak. The key is you get back up. The key is you, my commitment level's dropping. I need to rise it here. I need to realize I need some help here. And I'm committed to my wife. I'm committed to the church. I'm committed to things around us. I'm committed to my community. I'm committed to my neighbors. If I see something happening to my neighbors, would you go help them? Definitely. Definitely. Now, sometimes that drops, my selfishness rises. I need to fight it there. But my commitment, I'm in. I know whom I believed and am persuaded. Let's all say it together. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I believe and I'm persuaded that He is able. Him. I'm committed to Him. I believe in Him, what He can do. That I've committed. I'm weak, but I'm committed to Him and He keeps doing it. He helps me to believe. He is my only hope of believing. And it's wonderful, but I'm committed. You're either committed to yourself, to your world, or your joys, or your loves, or your hobbies, or whatever. And we can have some fun things there, but everything's Jesus, folks. Is He committed to us? Wow, is He committed to us? Saves us all the way to heaven, out of hell, all the way to heaven, and helps us in our sanctification. We need to be committed to Him. Believing is commitment, commitment, commitment. Going all the way up the ladder, just not playing games. Believing, believing. and diabetes, I got to believe. I say I'm working on my diabetes. I even got Krista to tell me, me and Krista are having a wager of who can lose the most weight. That lasted for about 2 days. I was all gung-ho. I need to get gung-ho. Y'all need to ask me, preacher, how's your diabetes? Preacher, how much weight you lost this week? Shut up. You know. Is the same way with our Christianity, folks? How's your Bible reading? How's your prayer life? How's your victory? How much victory have you gotten this week? How many people did you show joy of Jesus to? How did the troubles go? Are you committed? I'm committed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm committed. How many this morning say, preacher, I need this message. Would you raise your hand? My hand's up. Everybody. I need this message. Anybody else? I needed this message. Pray for me. Committed. I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I'm a committed follower. I'm becoming a committed follower. Once I realized what Jesus did for me, I got to live for Him. If you're not saved this morning, you need to get saved. My goodness. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. You're talking about being a committed Christian. And I'm just a play Christian or a casual Christian or a fair weather Christian. I'm not committed. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. Anyone this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, just you, me, and God. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, and I sure don't want to go to hell, but I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Just raise your hand. Balcony, side wings, main floor. I trust you know you're saved. Fire up. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. Against that final judgment day, I'm going to go to heaven. I believe it. I'm committed. And I'm going to live it as much as I can. When I fire out, when I cool off, I'm not going to stay there because I'm a committed follower of Jesus. I'm not perfect by no means, but I'm a committed follower of Jesus all out. Let's do that. Amen. Great, great verse. Following Jesus wherever, whenever, whatever. Catch what it says. Becoming a fully committed follower of Christ. Becoming. I'm becoming a fully committed follower of Jesus. Do it. Get the paper back there. It has all of the main slides in our series here for the last 4 weeks. And keep reading it. Keep reading 1 John. Keep reading 1 John until the word abide comes alive. Huh? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truth that we can know for sure we're saved because of what you did and you gave it to us. It's all about you. Lord, deepen our commitment. And when our commitment is shaky and the flesh rises, Lord, help us to realize it, admit it, forsake it, confess it, get rid of it, and get back to commitment. I'm committed to Jesus. He's committed to me. I'm committed to Him. Lord, deepen our commitment and help it to keep growing the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.